Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitchell.
David.
We haven't talked about this a lot on the show. I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but you've sold your business.
Mm-hmm.
Have you started to really free up your time? Has it taken more than you thought it would? I guess is my question.
Did you just assume the gender of my business?
Yes, I did. I thought that you were transitioning your business.
Yeah. So we're like what, 2 months in?
Yeah, about two.
We're about on pace, maybe just a touch behind, but.
Did you think the workload would be what it is?
Yeah. Like I knew it was going to be a heavy lift for the first few months just to teach everybody how to do everything.
No big surprises.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's going smooth.
Yeah.
About to free up some time.
We got a couple more things we got to put in place and then my time is way freed up.
Going on a little vacation next week for celebration with the wife. Going to Mexico. That'll be fun.
Yep.
I'm surprised I didn't get an invite.
Well, you know, those flying swaps, right?
Where's T Rizzle when we need him?
So what's funny is we have a friend that's a travel agent. And Danielle's working with the travel agent, and Danielle tells her, like I hear her on the phone, and she's like, we could totally go to like those swingers resorts or like those top like clothing optional resorts. She's like, it's not for us, but like I don't mind the environment. So she's just trying to get like non-kids.
Say you want to go to one without saying you want to go to one.
Right.
Yeah.
She wants to get her tits out on the beach. That's what she wants to do.
Janine and I have looked at them that are just, they have two different ones.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they have ones that are just no kids, but not.
Yeah.
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 Swinger ones.
Essentially, that's what we're going to is an adults only resort. It's not.
Adults only.
It's not quote adults only.
It's not Red Room adults only.
Right. It's just no kids allowed.
You know, I told you I'd take you to a big fancy dinner when you sold, which I still will. I've been kind of putting it off because I have some interesting news too. I'm not going to talk about it here, but like just a goal that Janine and I have reached.
Oh, cool.
In our own. So I thought, you know, we're like this close to reaching it.
Yeah.
So when we get there, we'll little joint celebration on me, dude.
There you go.
Be fun. I don't know what we're going to do. Is 1587 worth going to?
So it is. We lucked into some reservations for that last week. Was it last week?
Yeah, a couple weeks
two
ago.
Two weeks ago. So for those that don't know, 1587 is a new restaurant in town that is put together by Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, it's either put together by them or just they have their names on it. I don't know. No one really knows what the story is.
There's some different hotel chain branding around the restaurant.
Maybe it's a little partnership.
And so I have a feeling there's a hotel, or not hotel, restaurant branding. It's in the bottom floor of a hotel. But
yeah.
I have a feeling they're following like another high-end restaurant's format, layout, model, whatever. And then they're just applying names and stuff like that to it.
I
will say it's expensive. To do it right without like
if you're gonna have some pre-drinks.
Yeah, if you're gonna get a couple
nice
of drinks ahead of time,
a wine during your meal or whatever.
And you're gonna get a good meal and an appetizer and a drink or two at dinner and all that stuff. I mean, you're gonna spend $200 to $250 a person.
Yeah, I figured it'd probably be around that. Some other friends of mine went. And they had posted on Facebook that, hey, yeah, we went. It was this. It was that. Blah, blah, blah. And they were like, yeah, I don't know. And I just messaged her. And I was like, hey, because they go to 27 by us a lot. I said, should I just go to 27? She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, the food is comparable.
Yeah.
It's very comparable. And it's cheaper. And you don't have to go downtown.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Okay.
Yep.
So maybe we'll go. I don't know. I'd like to go once just to see.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's kind of cool because you can go up to the, what is the hotel above it? Lowe's Hotel.
L-O-E-W-S.
L-O-E-W-S yeah. Hotel. And they have their, they got a really fancy cocktail lounge that like overlooks the downtown skyline. And 40, I say overlook.
$40 martinis. That's okay. I don't.
They were about $20 drinks.
Like if you go to Vegas, you know, you can get free drinks, right? Uh-huh. If you're gambling. But then they have really nice bars and it's the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's the, you know that you're, and this is going to make both of us sound uppity as shit, but it lets you know that you're in a room with like people
yeah.
and it's not just a bunch of bums hanging out drinking Miller Lite, which
yeah.
I like Miller Lite, but you know what I mean? So yep. you're paying not necessarily for the drink, but the atmosphere and the feeling and the getting away from everybody else. So I don't mind, you know me, I'm real tight, but I don't mind that once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a nice little treat.
Yeah.
It's the people that think that they live at that level and go every day and then they're like, I don't have any money. Like, that's when it becomes a problem, right?
Pretty sure. So it's kind of a weird story. We were at the Lowe's hotel bar, cocktail lounge or whatever for drinks before 1587. And our waitress was like awesome, great service, everything. And when it came time to check out, she like kind of disappeared. Like she gave us her checks, but she didn't come back and with our cards for a minute and all of that. And we're like, that's kind of weird. And so she comes back and she's flustered. And we're like, are you good?
Yeah, like what's going on?
Like what happened? And she goes, oh my gosh, I'm pretty sure some guy's trying to kill himself. And we're like, what? Apparently some guy was down there drinking and talking with a waitress.
In the restaurant.
Lowe's hotel.
Or the bar up top.
In the Lowe's hotel cocktail lounge.
Okay.
And the way that he was talking to the waitress, he was acting all doom and gloom, like it's the end and all of this stuff. And then he ends up tipping the waitress. Like they never said the amount.
Like something insane.
An obscene amount of money.
Like 50 grand, 100 grand
yes.
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, somebody said, better take it.
Yeah, she said, this guy tipped me a life-changing amount of money. And he was all talking negative and doom and gloom, and pretty sure he's planning on like going up to his room and pulling the trigger.
I mean, if you're going to do it, fuck up a hotel room.
Well, and make a waitress rich on the way out, right? And so she was able to like...
That's dark.
Like the guy had already gotten up and walked away when she got the obscene tip. She
oh,
went
so
straight
she
to her
went
manager.
Looking for him.
Yeah. She went to her manager and they went and found the guy. And he was about ready to get into an elevator and go to his room. And so they brought him back
into the
thing and were just chatting with him.
That's weird.
And yeah, we had to leave and go to our reservation. But yeah, it was kind of odd. Like just really odd.
I don't.
So, especially for the waitress to be like, like life-changing amount of money. It's just weird.
I mean, he was probably trying to just get her to follow him to his room so he could, you know.
Right.
Like,
who knows?
That's where I go with it. Like, eh.
Yeah. You never know.
That's weird, man.
Is weird.
Very that's weird. Like, yeah. if you're going to off yourself, like, don't just give it to a stranger. You're yeah. telling me you don't have... I shouldn't say this because usually it's people don't have one person that they love and care about.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, if she's a 10, give it to a 2, though. She
give,
needs it
give,
more
give
than
it
that
to
10.
A 2.
That girl, like, make somebody's, you know what I mean? The 10 can make the money. Give it to a 2.
Give it to somebody without an OnlyFans potential.
Without privilege. Give it
privilege.
To a 2. That 10's got privilege.
You've got beauty privilege.
Dude, if you want to talk privilege, you know, we're not going to get into politics, but it's, you know, white privilege this, Asian privilege this, blah, 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 blah. If you want to talk privilege, 9s and 10s.
Yeah, there's privilege.
Women, and it doesn't really matter if Asian, black women, white women, 9s and 10s,
yeah,
that's privilege.
Yeah.
They literally don't pay for dick. Oh, that was a poor choice of words. They don't pay for shit. Yeah. You know, they get one.
You
I
are
right into that one.
You are right. They don't pay for dick.
They can pretty much, I mean, if they get a good looking dude that is successful and they literally take care of them,
yeah,
they don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Then sometimes your privilege buys you a 9 or a 10, right?
earned privilege can buy you a 9 or a 10.
Well, yeah. So, like, did you see the latest Victoria's Secret's fashion show?
Old squiggly eyes Reese walking down the aisle.
Sid the Sloth.
Yeah.
Walking down the aisle.
Dude, I will say this. She got a rocking body.
Yeah.
I can't tell who she's looking at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm not a 10, but, like, I know I can't do that.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, maybe let's not put her up there.
Yeah.
I had kind of forgot about the Sydney Sweeney thing with the...
The jeans.
The jeans. Like, yeah. She has good jeans, you know?
Yeah.
Which, so stupid. They could pay whoever they want to do whatever they want and advertise however they want.
Yeah.
Okay? It doesn't matter. I was listening to one of our local sports stations. I listen online, so they have different ads than are on the radio, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And both radio stations in our town are pretty liberal, yeah. Right? Well, there's a American Eagle ad that comes on, and it's her.
Yeah.
And she's just, you can't see her. It's just her talking.
Yep.
And she's just talking all sexy
yeah.
about the jeans
the
and
jeans.
This and that. And then at the end, she literally says, Sydney Sweeney's got good jeans.
Yep.
And it just cuts out. And I was like, dude, how hard are you going to troll motherfuckers?
Yeah.
It's like, that is fantastic.
Yep.
It's like, ooh, double down, man.
Yep.
I mean, if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how much they're getting out of that one fucking ad?
Yeah, a lot. And
smart marketing, baby.
Well, and an audience that's never bought American Eagle jeans that probably can't fit into American Eagle jeans as protesting American Eagle jeans.
Yeah, it's so done.
Oh, you lost nobody.
To be honest, I had forgot like when we were kids, mm-hmm. we went to the mall constantly.
Yep. Abercrombie and Fitch.
And American Eagle were almost like three stores apart from each other. Mm-hmm. And what did everyone wear? A&F
yep.
or American Eagle?
Yep.
And then they had kind of like, I had forgot they even existed. And now all of a sudden their stock, like, I don't know what it did, like quadruple or some
yeah.
shit overnight. Like, okay, that's how you get back in the market.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Yeah.
Somebody was using their fucking brain on that one.
Yep. Pretty wild.
Pretty impressive.
Yep.
I wish I had that kind of, I'm very creative, but not in that aspect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, some of it is just the overall branding that leads up to it. Like, there are some tiny companies that have banger commercials out there. It's just, it's not set up for that commercial to be funny. Like, remember the Budweiser frogs?
Genius.
Genius. But if a small company did that, they'd be like, that's a weird commercial.
Yeah, I wouldn't get as much length.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
do you still think that the Cracker Barrel thing was done on purpose?
I don't know. I mean,
you were the first one to say that to me. And
it sure went away really quick. And, I mean, they got miles of publicity for nothing.
Well, and how many people just went into, like, I'm going to eat there before they change it and they ruin it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If that was on purpose, that's like 3D chess.
Yeah.
Maybe 4D chess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did that lady get fired?
I don't think so.
I never followed up.
Yeah.
If she didn't get fired, it was on purpose.
Yeah. Do you think all the... So during the tense political climate and people are making a bunch of obscene posts online and they're being caught on video making obscene gestures or chants at some of these protests, and then you hear that they've been terminated, like, I have a hard time believing it. So, like, there was one at the, like, over at the No Kings protest over the weekend. There was a lady who was mocking Charlie Kirk getting shot in the neck.
The fat Mexican gal?
Yeah. And she's gesturing with a finger gun to her neck and all this stuff. Sunday. So the No Kings protest was Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday. Stories were breaking that she's already been fired. She's a teacher. She hadn't even gone to work. Like,
yeah, no one's.
This ain't Friday where, like, how do you get fired on your day off? Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much of that shit is. I will say a lot of the, like, I'll scroll Instagram just watching videos and stuff. Half of that shit's made up.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell the ones that it's a plane. That's not really a plane.
Yeah.
And they're like setting up
scenarios.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I like the original content that is like just you catch it. Like
yeah.
that's good stuff. But all this fucking staged shit, now it's half of the internet.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, what the, come on.
Yeah, a lot of content creators are just doing staged shit.
Janine showed me one the other day. It was an alligator on a porch and the kid gets on it and that alligator takes off.
That's a Sora AI video.
Yeah, she's like, can you believe this happened? I was like, babe, you know that's AI, right?
Yeah.
She's like, is it?
She didn't know. We're all hosed.
It's not good.
I've seen the one of the cat getting caught in the tornado off the front porch.
Yeah.
And like...
or the alligator eating the cat off the front porch.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Or like anytime you see animals jumping on trampolines, chances are it's an AI video. And right now, because it's Halloween, you're seeing a lot of like... AI've created videos of like a possum getting into the bowl of candy on the front porch.
Yeah.
And then the little animatronic thing moves and it scares the possum.
Yeah.
Like that's all AI stuff.
I know.
But yeah, we're screwed.
Yeah. I can hear Dave.
I will
Nabin.
Get taken advantage of hardcore in the future because at the rate I'm having to do double takes at some of these AI videos now.
Yeah. And you watch a lot of videos.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's I haven't gotten Sora yet. Grant got it. And it's a weird like invite only thing. And
that's not good either.
It's so like once you get it, you're given like 10 passes to give to other people so they can get it. You can't just get it. You have to get invited.
Oh, so there was probably a beta and then those people started the spider web and then the spider web went out. One got, they got 10, and then they chose who they wanted to do it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of like that autonomous taxi company like Waymo or something like that. It's invite only. It's like Uber, but they're autonomous, and it's invite only. But like Grant was telling me, so he's got 10 passes to give away, and he's like, Dad, do you want Sora? And I'm like, not yet. I said, maybe, but right now.
Hold my pass.
Yeah. And he was like, well, I've been looking on eBay. People are selling these Sora invites on eBay.
For how much?
A lot.
Sell them, dude.
Yeah, that's what I told Grant. I'm like,
tell him I want one. I'll sell the one he gives me. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it has to be like come from Grant. I don't know. But
dude, that's crazy.
Now granted, what they're listed for on eBay and what they actually sell for and what people actually collect, two totally different things. But
it's almost like they've created their own Bitcoin.
Kind of.
Limited Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I can hear Dave Nabin right now. I'm gonna finish that like all the time. Man, fuck that shit. I told you guys. I told you.
Yeah.
He's one of the older guys in our Tradewinds group. Him and I are a lot alike. No, never. No.
I mean, I definitely see some good perks for it because you can give it some language, you can give it some pictures, and then you can just, instead of having to go out and shoot content, you can have Sora, you know, I could take a picture of myself in this podcast studio with the backdrop behind me and everything.
Yeah.
And I can give it some language and I can give it a couple of different picture angles and give it a little bit of a video clip so it learns my mouth movements and my voice tone and everything. And then from that, I could literally make any podcast clip I want to make, whether it actually occurred or not.
What is it called?
Sora, S-O-R-A. Grant did one. He was just exploring and having fun. The local high school football team is dominating this year. Blue Springs South is 7-0.
Yeah, they play West, final game, this Friday.
They're projected to go 8-0. They're projected to win state. Three games this year, they killed the game in the third quarter because the blowout was so bad.
Yeah, their offensive line just runs fools over.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, the holes are humongous.
Yeah. And so, Grant... We were all at the football game 2 weekends ago because Grant was there, and so Grant was playing around with Sora, and he made a video that was Jake Paul standing on the field at Blue Springs South High School, like hyping everybody up for the game.
Dude, at what point can Jake Paul come and be like, "You owe me money"?
Right. Well. So the AI video that Trump made trolling the No Kings protest this weekend of him flying a fighter jet. Did you see this?
No.
So Trump.
Oh, yes, I did. The mask is too small on his face.
Mask is a little too small on his face.
You're wearing a crown. It's
pretty funny. He's wearing a crown.
Dumping shit on him.
And he's dumping shit on all the protesters.
Yeah, I saw it.
He's playing Highway to the Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins.
Uh-oh.
Kenny Loggins.
Is probably going to sue him because he's a liberal.
Yes, he's trying to go after Trump for unlawful use of the audio, which if Kenny Loggins has licensed the audio to whatever site that was created from,
he's hosed.
Then you don't get to control that.
I wonder if So when you're on Sora and you want to add music, do they give you a library to choose from?
I'm sure they do.
Well, then it has to be licensed.
Yeah, it depends.
Because they can't provide, like, so on Adobe, if I want to use their music, I pay an additional fee, or mm-hmm. I can't even access it to even listen yeah. to it for more than 30 seconds.
It kind of depends on how's your account set up. Is it set up for business or personal? So like your personal Facebook account, you can get access to boatloads of music. But your business Facebook account, you have like 6 generic audios to pick from.
Gotcha.
And you'll get copyrighted unless you can prove that you have the rights to the music. So that's why we use Epidemic Sound, is that handles all of our copyrights to any music.
Yeah. So. And that's why I pay for the Adobe one, just yeah. for a few things that I've done.
Yep.
That's why we changed the music at the front of the podcast.
Yeah.
Just to something we owned.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just be safe.
Yeah. So if you guys are wondering, the music in front of the podcast is yours truly, not me, Dave.
Me? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Playing the guitar.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, from a long time ago.
Yep. The OG, that's like ripped from a CD, a compact disc.
I had to put the compact disc into the
You had to find a compact disc player.
So my old school laptop still has a burner on it.
How do you know you're old?
You have a CD burner.
You have a CD-ROM burner in your laptop.
Yep.
That thing's from the Napster era.
I had to rip that fucking CD. For those of you that are young, ripping is when you record off of a CD mm-hmm. to MP3 format
yep.
for your library. And then, yeah.
Yep. Back in the Napster days.
Dude, I think it's really hit me. They say like you age a lot at like between 41 and 44, and then the next one's like 61 to 64 or something. The last 2 years, I have felt extremely old. And it's not necessarily like me. Like, I still look fairly young for my age, but like all the stuff that's going on,
right.
I just feel old.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where's my Afghan and my recliner?
Get off my lawn!
Yeah, it's like, oh, I just feel so fucking old.
That's funny.
Oh.
Hey, you want to actually talk about work stuff today?
I think you should talk about Fuel Pulse first, but then, yeah, we should.
Okay. So we are going to, today's show, we're actually going to talk about how to build a team in two phases. We're going to talk about things that you need to be doing to build a team when you're just a team of one. Things that like actions and processes and routines you can be putting in place that will give you value when you finally have a team.
Yeah, foresight and planning.
And then we're going to talk about like how to actually build a team. Because that's the biggest challenge a lot of tradespeople have. But first, a message from our sponsors. Field Pulse is the field service management software for your field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company that's ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It's got advanced features for your CRM, for estimates and invoices, for scheduling and dispatching, for good, better, best proposals, for maintenance plans, and it'll even upload the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software you're currently using every day, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop, so you can hit the ground running without ever changing everything about how you do the day-to-day operations. And by simplifying those day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time and keeps your team organized, and it gives you the tools for increased productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8-star rating with over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FIELDPULSE.com.
I was wondering if you was going to get through that.
I know. It was a hard
tough read.
Read
today.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. I just got reminded of a really embarrassing moment at the last Chiefs game I went to. So, spelling Field Pulse. So, the last Chiefs game I went to was the Chiefs-Eagles game.
I was just going to say, are you going to tell us or is this going to be for me? Is it that bad?
And, maybe it wasn't the last game.
Well, Raiders were on Sunday. Did you not go?
No, I didn't go to the Raiders game. But anyway, Chiefs-Eagles game. We get a lot of visitors that sit around us.
Yeah, you're kind of in that area of, I love having tickets, but not that much.
Right.
So I can sell them off and it doesn't hurt me too bad or loan them to friends or whatever.
Yep. And so we had an Eagles fan sitting behind us. And I'm not going to say she was obnoxious. She knew all the chants. She didn't have any fans around her, so she's chanting all this stuff by herself.
Did she wasn't being rude. Did she come to the game by herself?
I think so.
Ballsy.
And
I wouldn't do that in Philly.
No, yeah, I wouldn't go the other way with that.
Did you ask her?
No, like, no. But, you know, the Eagles started out that game pretty aggressively, right?
Yeah.
And then they kind of flattened out in the middle, and then they got aggressive towards the end. And so every time they had a good play, she was spelling the whole Eagles chant.
Yeah.
And they have this whole chant, yeah, of how they spell it and all this stuff. Well, once the Chiefs started doing good, uh-oh, I'm like, I'm going to turn it around on you. I'm going to spell Chiefs.
Oh, no.
It would help if I spelled it right.
What is...
Yeah.
Did you go C-H-E-F-S?
C-H-E-I-F-S.
Oh, my God. I before and, E except after C, dog.
Yeah. And
that is fantastic.
Yeah, Danielle just looked at me, and then she just bowed her head in her hands and started shaking her head.
Did she get up and walk away?
And she's like, I don't even know you. And I'm like, what?
Oh, you didn't even realize it?
And then I'm like, oh, no, I misspelled it, didn't I? And she's like, well, I mean, it doesn't help that, you know, we're like, we sit on the goal line.
Yeah.
So, like, you can see the word Chiefs right there on the in the end zone. And it's like,
dude, that's bad. And all the other fans were probably like not trying to crush you because you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
And you were trying to.
Yeah, it is what it is. Shit happens.
Were the boys with you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do they still make fun of you to this day?
Yeah, they were mortified. So now the running joke is every time we're driving to the stadium, they're like, how do you spell Chiefs, Dad? And I'm like, F-O-C-K-O-F-F. Prick.
Did you just say F-O-C-K? Oh, my God. You just misspelled your favorite word.
I just misspelled it again. Yeah, so.
What the fuck is the
spelling is not
do
my
you remember,
suit.
This has been like four episodes ago, I told you people were getting dumber because of the phones and they can't even spell?
Yeah, yeah, that's me.
And you tried to argue with me a little bit? Mm-hmm. Well, that argument has been put to rest,
yep,
sir.
Yep.
We have proven facts.
So let's actually talk about something
dumber.
I'm good at.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/thevoid or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
You know what?
Because spelling ain't it.
Here. Clean slate.
Clean slate.
Start, sir.
So.
That's gold.
If you're listening to the show and you haven't started your company yet, or you have started your company and you're a one-man show, or one-woman show, or whatever, there are some things you can be doing right now to be preparing yourself and gearing yourself up for an eventual team that you will have someday. And what I mean by this is a lot of people start their one-man show. They basically own a job, and they're doing everything without a process, without a structure, without a system. And so they're not really setting themselves up to hire anybody and then be able to teach that person how to do anything.
Well, they have a system. It's just not written or right. Teachable to someone else because they quote unquote know it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they're just flying by the seat of their pants. They may know how to do it.
Yeah.
But they couldn't teach somebody if they hired them the next day.
Yeah. Like imagine if I managed a McDonald's. And I knew how long the burgers needed to be on the grill, and I knew how long the fries needed to be down in the oil, and I knew that the ice cream machine was broken, and all of those things, but I didn't write it down anywhere. That would make hiring a horrendous task.
Yeah.
Because now I've got to spend all my time telling you how to do everything and expecting you to remember it. Oh. We can only remember so much.
Yeah, and the worst leaders that we see in TradeWinds are the ones that say, well, he should be able to figure that out.
Right.
And then, you know what I mean? Now that even complicates the process more because you're not even telling them. You're just assuming they can figure it out and be as good as you are.
Right.
Which is, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
That's just a trap.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why they go through so many employees or quote unquote can't find good help.
Right.
It's like, dude.
Yeah.
You're setting them up for failure out of the gate.
Yeah. And so... if you have a process for how you do things, for instance, If you call the customer when you're heading to their house, write it down. Do it, document it.
Yeah.
So the three D's of delegation are do it, document it, delegate it, right? So you're going to do it the way that you know it works. And if you decide that you want that to be like an anchor in your business, everybody does this this way, well, then you document it. And then you delegate it out and make sure that everybody is doing it that way. Lead, manage, and hold accountable is another great phrase that ties in here.
Yeah.
You're going to lead by example. You're going to manage them to make sure that they do the thing the way that you want them to do it. And then you're going to hold them accountable when they don't do the thing the way that you want them to do it. And so, you know, if you call the customer when you're headed to a call, then document that. And so that way, the next guy you hire is now also calling customers when you head to the call. And if you present three options with every repair, then document that. Make that part of your customer experience. And so that way, all of your guys are presenting three options. Because what happens if you don't do that? And we just talked about two tiny little things, right?
But very important things.
Those are very important things. But
especially when it comes to customer experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are two tiny little things. Imagine how, like, the experience you deliver to a customer is a one-man show. There's 100 tiny little things that are leading into that experience. Well, if you don't document those, then you can't delegate them. And if you can't do that, then everybody you hire is going to underperform, is going to underdeliver to your expectations, because you're expecting the guy to just automatically know. We call the customer on the way. We have, you know, we say these certain things on that phone call, and, you know, all of that stuff. And so, you know, go back to that McDonald's analogy. Those people at the drive-thru would be clueless if they didn't have some SOPs to work from. They'd be clueless if they didn't have a way that they were taught how to do it. That would make your customers, like, really aggravated too. Imagine if, like McDonald's is consistent if they're nothing else.
Yeah.
So
you know the fries are going to be like the fries. You know that they have that every Coke you get is the most delicious fountain Coke you'll have.
Yep.
You know, because they pay for maintenance and all that. Like, you get the same thing every time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know the ice cream machine's broken.
Yeah. Like, people literally look aside the fact that food is killing them because of the consistency that they get when they get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm not here to wage in on the health of McDonald's. But the reason they're so popular is because they're so easy, because they're so consistent.
Yeah.
Right? Chick-fil-A.
We talk about Chick-fil-A all the time.
Yeah. It's a great model to reference, but, like,
I don't like Chick-fil-A.
I don't really like them either. I mean, their food's amazing. It's just very
spicy,
small portions.
They have that spicy deluxe chicken sandwich. That one I'll eat.
Yeah.
It's got, like, pepper jack and spicy chicken.
Yep.
That's good.
But, like, you know that whenever you pull away from a Chick-fil-A, you know they're going to say, my pleasure. That's just what they do.
It's part of their process.
It's just part of their process.
You know, this has made me think about one of the biggest, it's not a complaint, but a thing that guys in Tradewinds gripe about all the time is, you know, where do I start with my SOPs, my standard operating procedure? You know, what does it look like? What is this? What is that? I don't understand. Where do I start? And it's like a big, giant cloud over their head. They don't understand it. Literally what you just said of call the customer before you go, that's part of a SOP.
Yeah.
You're literally writing the SOPs as you go along.
Yeah.
It's not some giant, hard, non-understandable thing. It's literally what you do on your way to a service call.
Yeah.
That's a procedure. That's a process.
Yeah.
What do you do when you call them? That's a procedure. That's a process.
Yeah.
What do you do when you walk to the door? That's a procedure. That's a process. That is an SOP. Your literal day-to-day actions when you're a one-man show is the way that your business is going to operate moving forward when you're hiring people.
Yeah.
Like you said, write those things down. When you hire them, you already have the SOPs. They're right there. You wrote down everything you were doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It is not as complicated as guys want to make it out to be.
No, no. And like in my business, I don't have a single SOP that covers plumbing. All of my SOPs are client experience and like how to how to navigate our CRM and stuff like that.
They're operational things.
Yes. Yeah.
They're literally operational.
We have a rule in our company that we only hire guys with experience. And so thankfully that means I don't have to write SOPs about how to do plumbing. But that's another thing to consider as you're looking at eventually building a team is the first people you hire in business should not be an apprentice. Like, I get the noble idea that you want to hire an apprentice, but look at the comparison of hiring an apprentice versus hiring a skilled person. The apprentice slows you down, costs you money, and is not worth their own wage.
Well, and think about it even more simply than that is you're hiring someone because you have so much on your plate that you can't deal with it, and all you're doing is adding something else onto your plate.
Yeah.
That person isn't going to take five things off your plate to help you.
Right.
It is a burden. It's an anchor. It's just one more thing you got to deal with.
Right.
It doesn't work for your first hire. You and I talk about this all the time. It doesn't work for your three or four hires.
Yeah. The only time hiring apprentices works way early in business is if you're doing a lot of new construction and you've got a lot of gopher work, you've got a lot of repetition and stuff like that, right? An apprentice can run a goon spoon and stand in a ditch and tell you, you know, how you're digging the grade or whatever.
Yeah.
Like those positions, it can make sense. But if you're in the service world at all, like it's hard enough to take somebody with 20 years of plumbing experience and teach them how to do plumbing here.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to teach them the plumbing too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just a drag. It's not a smart idea. Full transparency, and I'm not knocking the guys in Tradewinds. It sounds like I am today, but a lot of them are of that mindset because of just different areas of the country they're in where that's prevalent. That's just what you do, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And so, like you were saying, it is a noble act. Mm-hmm. You know, you are literally making a sacrifice to help the industry move forward. But man, if it folds your business, it really doesn't matter how noble of a gesture it was.
Yeah. My dad always used to have a saying, and he would say, charity begins at home. Meaning, if you're broke, don't be going and donating money to charity. Like, get your house in order first and create a house that's so in order that you can safely donate to charity, right?
Yeah.
And you don't need to be spending your last dollars on charity stuff. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, you don't need to be rounding up that total at the supermarket or at the store or at the hardware store or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, when you're too charitable, you become a charity.
Yeah.
Is one of the most common sayings I've heard in a long time, because I think a lot of people, and I don't know if, you know, we talk about crowdsourcing information on Facebook and stuff a lot. You know, there'll be stuff on there. Can you help me with this? 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 It's the same circle of people that are going nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're helping each other out, but no one's getting anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Come on. You got to take care of home first.
Yeah.
Yep. And home in this case is business. Your business has to thrive, or you can't hire and give paychecks to anyone, and it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yep. Somebody posted on the local community page yesterday that they needed a new sewer.
$10,000?
And they
almost crushed that guy.
Yeah. And you know, they got a bid for $10,000, and they're trying to get it done for cheaper and all that. That's not our ideal client, so I didn't even drop our company on there. But I just said, hey, this is one of those things where you tend to get what you pay for. And you like, this can cost you a lot more than 10 grand if you hire a cheap guy and he does a horrible job, and then somebody has to come in, like a good guy have to come in later and redo it.
Yeah, it's so funny that you brought that up, because I went back and looked at all his posts in that, and they're all, everything's too expensive.
Yeah.
And looking for charity. Like, that's all it was. Like, dude, how, like, I didn't post anything because I'm trying to be better about not dragging people down. I'm trying to like make positive change, right?
Yeah.
But at what point do you realize your mindset has to shift and you have to be better?
Yeah.
Regardless of what it is. Like, you have to be, you know, make more money.
Yeah.
Get a better job. Stop being stuck in this same perpetual cycle of, I almost said loserhood, but like, that's what it is.
It's really what it is.
You know, like, make a change in your life so that you're not that person for the rest of your life.
Right.
Like,
right.
It, what's weird to me is when you do say things like that to people, they don't take it to heart. No. They think you're being down on them. It's really like, no, that's the only way you're going to get out of this situation is to just decide I'm going to be better.
Well, and at some point, adults don't change. And so this is actually going to come in later in the hiring stuff, the team building stuff. But at some point, like, it's hard enough to change your own mind as an adult. It's very difficult to change another adult's mind.
I see what you're saying. Like, I
especially on the internet.
I will say it is very difficult for people to change on their own. Some people can. Like, I've changed a lot probably over the last 5 years. You have, for sure.
Yep.
You know, but it's a very small percentage of people that are willing to make that change.
Well, and you changed because you changed, not because somebody changed you.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So you made a choice to improve and do better and you know, all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a comment on there that was like, $10,000, that's crazy. Like, even if you can't get somebody to loan you a backhoe, even if you have to rent a backhoe, PVC is so cheap, like, there is no way the company needs to be making that much money on you.
And then they didn't give any, like, structure of locates or gravel or experience or...
I mean, what happens when you hit the gas line in your front yard trying to do it yourself with a borrowed backhoe?
Yeah.
Or gas lines are actually, I mean, they're volatile, but they're cheap.
Dude, you just pinch the motherfucker over.
Yeah, they're
roll.
Cheap. But Google Fiber's all over our town.
That's expensive.
So imagine snagging a Google Fiber line, right?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Or power, and you actually hurt somebody.
Hey, guess what? That's now a $20,000 problem.
Yeah. What happens when you snap a power line and it's... like, it doesn't kill the transformer, and you go down there and grab a hold of it to see what the fuck it is?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're toast.
Yep. I've got some friends that live, or they're not friends, they're acquaintances. I don't even know these people. I know them through somebody else. They tried digging up their own sewer for a repair. And
how deep was it? It's always my first
seven question. Or 8 feet deep.
That's not too bad.
But they hit the fiber optic lines in the front yard.
Did they not call locates?
I don't know. But I do know that there was a fiber optic repair truck in their front yard for like a week.
And then a $15,000 bill?
Yeah, whatever they thought they were saving, I guarantee they spent more than that.
Yeah.
So, but essentially, as you are a one-man show going around, like, you can be preparing yourself for team stuff later just by documenting what you do that results in success in your business. Every business is different. We have some things in our business that we anchor our customer experience around. They work for us. That doesn't mean every other business should do them. It might not work for the way other businesses are set up, but it works for us. And we want to make sure that that's a consistent thing that every customer gets. And so we make a process around it, right? Another thing as a one-man show looking to hire is be ready to understand that you will not find a diamond in the rough. Great employees are not found. Great employees are created.
I mean, you may find one, but man, the chances are slim to zero.
Well, great employees, you could have a great employee that comes into a business with no structure and they bomb hard.
Yeah.
Great employees are relying on the structure the business provides them to excel. And they need that structure. And so what I'm getting at is wrap your head around the idea that you're creating these processes, you're doing it, you're documenting it, and you're going to delegate it to this person. And now you're enforcing a process. You've hired a guy that you already think is great, and now you're just holding him accountable to the processes you've created, and he'll continue to be great. But the last thing you want to do, you don't want to hire people to rescue your business. You don't want to hire people like when you don't really have a plan for what you should do. You don't want to hire people that you think are going to have the plan.
Yeah.
Because that never works, and it forces you to bend at the knee to your employees. And
if they wanted to do that or be part of that, they'd be on their own.
Right.
Like, that's not what they're signing up for.
Right.
I'd like to go back even a little bit further, not just for a one-man show. If you're still working somewhere, don't just work there. We've talked about this on some of the beginning episodes. Take in everything you can about how they run their office side.
Yep.
You know, what do the CSRs do? How does the CRM work?
Yeah.
How do they build their pricing structure? How do they onboard employees and fire employees?
Yeah.
What about that do you hate? You're an employee right now. You're in the best seat as far as how an employee is going to feel.
Yeah. Best position to learn.
Yeah. You'll never be in that position again.
Yeah.
So what do you like? What do you don't like? Don't think, I said this on a call the other night, don't think that you're going to remember that because you're not. Write it down.
Yeah.
What did I like about this process at work? Yeah. What did I not like? What will I never do in my business?
Right.
What will I always do that I learned from John, Joe, Bob, my boss over here?
Right.
Like you can even start setting that stuff up before you're a one-man show. Hell, you may hit the ground running as a one-man show and have all of that stuff in place.
Yeah.
And while you're a one-man show, be able to tweak it
without
having to do a whole bunch of extra work.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah. I mean, it just, I think a lot of times, and I was guilty of this, tradespeople make the quote-unquote office work way harder than it needs to be. The process is way harder than it needs to be. They overthink all of it because it is not their skill set. It's not what they've been doing for 15 years.
Well, the other reason people make some things more difficult than they are
is because they're afraid to do it.
Is because they're afraid to do it. Exactly. Yeah. They're
scared to death they're going to fuck something up.
They're afraid to fail, and so they just decide to stop at the figuring it out phase.
Yeah.
And when it comes to building a team, you will never have solid players on your team if you don't enable your team to succeed. Like, your job as a manager or as an employer is to set your team up for success.
Yeah.
Your job is not to continue to look for ways to point out that you know more than your team. Your job is not to continue to look for ways to point out that you're the boss and that you write their checks.
Yeah.
Take an athletics team, for example. Is the coach spending the entire practice talking about the good old days of back when he was young and he was doing all this? Or is the coach spending the entire practice enabling his team to win? Teaching his team how to win, right?
Yeah.
So that's your job as a leader, is to set other people up for success. Well, the only way to do that is you have to know what success looks like, and you have to know how to create success, and then you have to break all that down into small steps and then teach your team exactly how you want them to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about how to install a water heater. I'm talking about how to talk to a customer, how to build a relationship, how to turn one customer into three, how to get a 5-star Google review, all of those things, how to build value in a call. And so, the last thing to think about as a one-man show getting ready to hire is you will not have a perfect employee. And the best employee you're ever going to get is going to do things. At best, they're going to do things at 80% to what you do them. And so you have to build your business and build your pricing around a B average being like acceptable. All right, guys, this show's running long. This is a really good topic to talk about. So we're actually going to split this one into two shows. So tune in next week for the half of this show that talks about like when you're actually hiring instead of being ready to hire.